We're joined by Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports shutdown corner football analyst for the NFL as we head into the first weekend of the playoffs. Eric, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me again. Everything going well up there?
Well, absolutely. It's tolerably cool. It's not horribly cold like it's been the last couple days, so we're good with that. And a new year underway, and Patriots fans get a week to wonder what team we'll see in the first time they get back out on the field.
I think a healthier one. Getting a bye was huge, and obviously it's going to probably give guys like Julian Edelman, who no doubt Tom Brady's security blanket, and I think maybe just as importantly, guys like Sebastian Vollmer a chance to heal up. As limited as the receiving options were at the end of the year, I think the pass protection was the biggest concern. I think, yes, things do speed up when Julian is out there. You get a guy who can get open quickly, get a three-step drop, get him the ball fast. That's great. But I think keeping Tom Brady upright and not getting him hit is as much about the pass protection. So I think getting Vollmer back to the K was huge. Just getting a little healthier on defense, too, before they find out who they're going to play.
Well, let's talk about a couple of the AFC matchups, the ones this weekend. What do you see when you look at the Kansas City-Houston matchup? Certainly both teams playing their best football at the end of the regular season.
Yeah, and both teams seem to be kind of cut from the same cloth. They met in week one, and a lot has changed since then. I mean, the Chiefs played probably their best offensive half of football in that first half and then had to withstand a big Houston comeback. I don't think we'll see as many points this time. I just think the defense has really matured. You know, you look at, obviously, J.J. Watt, people know about, but Jadeveon Clowney, when healthy, has played well. Vince Wilfork, of course, Patriots fans will remember very fondly. And, rookie linebackers, good playmakers in the secondary for the Texans. Same with the Chiefs. Marcus Peters, the great young corner. Tamba Hali is there. And getting Justin Houston back is very important. I think we're going to see a 17-14 or a 20-17 kind of game where one turnover really could be the difference in that game.
That other matchup, a very interesting one with Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. Can A.J. McCarron be a surprising playoff hero?
He's a game manager, and I think a good one. That's not a knock on his skills. He's not the same kind of playmaker Andy Dalton. So, we'll see. I still feel like if they get in that game and he starts and they're down 10-0, I mean, this is a franchise that I don't want to play out game in 25 years. This is a head coach that hasn't won in his last six tries in the postseason. So I think there'll be a little bit of an air of desperation there. And it's a good football team. They have talent everywhere right now. The biggest question is that quarterback. So they may say, let's give Andy a shot. If he can grip the football, if he's going to be active and be the backup, they may make an early switch. So I'm still keeping an eye on that one. I think this one is the marquee matchup of the weekend.
We're talking with Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports shutdown corner. Over in the NFC, Seattle at Minnesota, going to be about 100 below zero. Seattle playing maybe their best football of the season as well, looking a lot more like the team we saw in the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, I apologize. I lost you there for a second. What was the last part of the question?
Just the Seattle team that's playing so well the last few weeks is back to where they were in the postseason last year.
Yeah, I mean, the one slip up against the Rams, and another team of note that they played down the stretch, besides the Vikings in week 13, was the Arizona Cardinals last week. They had a couple of softer opponents in there, but there's no doubt. They've kind of changed their stripes a little bit. I'm sure a lot of Patriots fans are kind of laughing at the way I say this. They've become more of a pass-first team. I know the ending of the Super Bowl will resonate up there a little bit, but Russell Wilson, I mean, it was really about halftime of that Arizona game around mid-season, week 9 or whatever it was. He really cranked it up. They started throwing the ball vertical. The defense fed off that, started making more plays, more turnovers. They're getting healthier on both sides of the ball. So it's a dangerous team. And yet I do think the Vikings will give them a much better game than they did about a month ago when it was 28-0 before the end of the third quarter. I think we're going to see a much better game in this time around. And as you said, very, very cold. So the defensive players will not be happy tackling Adrian Peterson, Marshawn Lynch, and those guys.
How do you size up this other game, a Washington team that nobody expected to be here, but getting some great play out of Kirk Cousins, and then a Green Bay team that everyone thought would be here, stumbling its way into the playoffs?
Yeah, and I think everybody thought they'd be at Lambeau, and I think everybody thought they'd have maybe a bye week. And if we're just talking preseason expectations, if we're even looking at this team after the Hail Mary pass in Detroit, I think people felt like, okay, that was going to be sort of the galvanizing moment. But this offensive line has been an absolute shell of itself. And there are other factors. The defense is an okay group. It's not a great one. And Aaron Rodgers is not playing his best football for a number of reasons. So the offensive issues they have, the defensive limitations, the special teams, yes, have been better. But I think the Redskins, as white-hot as they've been offensively, have a really darn good chance to win this football game and play another game and live to fight another day. And they're maybe even better than people realize. So I'm fascinated to see how this one comes out. That said, the Redskins, you know, who knows? They're kind of a wild card team. I don't mean that wild card playoff. They're just they're a little bit of an unknown quantity at this point.
So as we head into the postseason this weekend, well, let's put you on the spot. Who do you think will be there come Super Bowl Sunday?
Yeah, well, Super Bowl Sunday, I mean, if we're looking that far ahead, I think the winner of this Bengals-Steelers game is going to end up in the AFC Championship. I really do. I think there's something special with both teams. If the Bengals can get the situation figured out at quarterback, if Andy Dalton is healthy enough to play, or if A.J. McCarron can play some of his best football, we'll be asking a lot. They have a talented team. Steelers are very dangerous. So I will pick either them, you know, those two teams to face off against the Patriots. And right now, until I see better work out of their offensive line, I don't know that I trust them. So I think they're the AFC team, and I would probably go with the Arizona Cardinals to topple the Carolina Panthers in the NFC side.
Eric, what was the more surprising development to you this week, Lovie Smith losing his job or Chuck Pagano keeping his?
It's a great question. And I think I'm going to say Indianapolis because – the timing of Lovie being fired was a little odd until I kind of started putting some things together behind the scenes and realized that the interest in Dirk Cutter, their offensive coordinator, was real from other teams, multiple teams. So, you know, they're probably going to run its course a little bit with Lovie anyway. Thought they might do it a few days earlier. Didn't happen. They waited until last night. So I'm going to say Chuck Pagano. The fact that a coach could go into his owner's, you know, office, sit down with a GM in Ryan Grigson that he doesn't get along with, frankly. They look at each other's eyes. They sit man-to-man. They sort out their issues. I mean, this kind of stuff, it doesn't happen in the NFL. It really doesn't. There are impulsive owners. There are, you know, headstrong people in this league. I just don't remember the last time something like that happened. So I'm going to go with Pagano and the Colts. That one definitely surprised me.
Who do you think ends up getting the Giants job?
Yeah, there's some intrigue here. They have done their homework on a lot of up-and-coming coordinators, and that seems to be the route that a lot of teams take. I'm aware of at least one sort of out-of-left-field candidate they're looking at. I don't know how serious his interest is in the job. I can't quite confirm it yet, though, so I can't say the name, but I will say this. They are looking at college head coaches. They are looking at in-house candidates such as Ben McAdoo, their offensive coordinator, and they are looking at other teams' coordinators as well. I think McAdoo has to be seen as a favorite because he's going to get a really strong recommendation from both Coughlin, and he had to win people over there. He's one of the newer guys on staff, and also from Eli Manning, and that does matter in that building. This is a blue blood franchise. You know, stability is the name of the game there. They're only hiring their third coach since 1997, so it would make sense for continuity's sake. That said, there is somebody outside the building that they've done extensive research on, and it's somebody I think a lot of people in New England will know, but it's not somebody in the Patriots organization for what it's worth.
I like that kind of intrigue. Well, we're going to have to follow
up. I got to tease you a little, right?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely. This, by the way, from the man who claims right here in his Yahoo profile that he may have coined the phrase Deflategate.
Yeah, that is it's half serious, half kidding, but apparently there was a story that ran this summer that they did some sort of analytics, you know, Google search thing where they went back and looked at the first reference of the term Deflategate, and apparently it came from my story. Now, I am one of those people who hates tacking on gate to any, you know, controversy or whatever. It goes against everything I believe in, but it rhymes. I mean, look, I'm simple-minded when it comes to some things. So the night that it broke, I was on duty. I just finished my story on the Patriots game. you know, I was about to crack a beer, and all of a sudden I see Bob Kravitz's report that, you know, there may have been some deflated balls. And I said, well, this is interesting, and I didn't obviously know what the what would come the next 6 months, but so I wrote Deflategate ? And then whatever headline after that. So it did. It may have been the first reference. I don't necessarily feel proud about that.
Well, I don't. You might be able to drink free in a lot of cities with that on the resume.
Not in your city, though, probably.
No, probably not up here. But, hey, we love your work, and we'll keep following it to see what happens with that Giants job as well. Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports Shutdown Corner. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Edholm. Eric, great talking with you, as always.
Well, thanks for having me again. Appreciate it.
It's 5:43 here on Downtown.